It's the Colbert and Reed Show. That's Jess.
And that's Sasha.
And we are live on Adobe Radio on a Monday, which is when we are always on for the past 6 years. 6 years, I tell you.
That's a long time.
That's a long ass mother friggin' time. I'm really, you know, it's our favorite day of the week for sure. When we don't do a Cool Nerd Weed Show, we're all messed up. We're all messed up for the week, you know.
it's my favorite time of the week. We're good. Golden. We're golden.
We have new microphones. Well, TS has a new microphone, and I'm using my new microphone that I haven't used on the show yet. How do we sound? Tell us how we sound.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thanks, Eddie. Eddie's the best. We love Adobe Radio. That's the thing. That's why we love doing the Cool Nerd Weed Show, because it's just, it makes us happy. Adobe Radio makes us happy. Follow us. We're not on Twitter. Fuck Twitter. Don't follow us on Twitter. Like I've been saying it every week for like 6 years. Just fuck Twitter. But Instagram, we are on at Cool Nerd Weed Show. And we are also on Facebook. We post stuff there too. And YouTube, Cool Nerd Weed Show on YouTube. Go watch the videos. You can see all of our silly hijinks behind the scenes, aka us smoking. So I am trying. So we're going to talk about a bunch of weird things today. Weird, counterintuitive, Cool Nerd Weed Show things, because we don't usually talk about like tolerance breaks or kind of like stoner etiquette, but like in a way that like we're rethinking our life. But I am trying to get pregnant, so I will eventually have to stop smoking, I presume, unless some breakthrough research comes out, or I hear that there's not gonna be a social worker who shows up at my birth with, you know, questions. So I will probably have to stop smoking, and so I'm trying to cut down now, because I smoke like 4 joints a day, you know, like that's a conservative day. I feel like 4 joints is probably right.
Easily probably close to an eighth
a day. Well, you know, because you're always picking up for me. I definitely, yeah, like every couple days I'm like, give me the hyphies. So edibles too. I haven't taken any edibles since like last week, I guess.
I think so. I found one in your car, and I ate it immediately.
I was like, just eat it, just take it, like, get out of my sight.
Ooh, a piece of candy.
And we'll talk more about that like as my journey continues, you know, what, because it's just so weird. The stuff we're gonna talk about today will show you how weird weed is. Like, there's such a stigma, there's also such a misunderstanding, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and for pregnant people it's always kind of, you know, you just want to be safe, you don't want to, you know, have a kid and then something's weird and you'd be like, oh, was it the weed I smoked? You don't want that. You just don't.
Yeah, you don't want that in the back of your head for the next 18 to 25 years.
You just don't. And it's easier. That's the cool thing about weed, is even though it is a psychological addiction, it's also very manageable to take a tolerance break. So we're gonna get to that in just a second. We wanted to start with good news about Joe Biden's administration with cannabis, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Joe Biden keeps true to one of his campaign promises. The Joe Biden administration officially opened the pardon request application for federal offenses of simple cannabis possession. So I went to the website. It's from the Department of Justice. You can click on this website.
That's awesome.
I think it's attached to wherever this article is found, CNN.
It's a link there.
And you can, it looks pretty simple.
That's great.
You can fill out the information, send it directly to the Department of Justice. And if you qualify, your cannabis conviction will be expunged and you will receive a certificate stating such.
How long does it take, does it say, typically?
Hmm.
Does it say? don't think it says
it. It does not say that there is a timetable.
I feel like I saw somebody on my Facebook say that their record was just expunged. I have to assume it was for weed. I'm not quite sure, but I feel like it has to be. I don't know. Unless, again, something was overturned. I don't know this person's life, really. But it's the first person I saw who said my record was expunged.
I think I saw the same one come through in my feed, and I believe it was they were probably one of the first people that have actually had a cannabis conviction expunged from their records.
That's pretty great.
Federally.
There it is. It's easy. People were asking when it first went legal in California, because we were expunging records, like when and how and how that was going to go. And honestly, a lot of the states have really been slow on expunging your records. So this is nice to see that at least the federals, the feds, are keeping it moving forward.
Yes, this is some good news. Now, there's actually nobody right now is in federal prison for simple cannabis possession.
No.
But the number who have been charged previously is almost 7,000 people.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Yeah. That's
so that's a lot of people that can benefit from this expungement.
That's great. That is really, really great. And obviously things are state by state still. It's just this was the federal move, which is great. And it is a promise that Joe Biden said he was going to fulfill. And he did. So that's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. I have to assume, and I said this in the last like two administrations, but I do feel like he's going to do it. I feel like he's going to do legal weed.
You know, within the next
couple 2 years. We're making our way. I mean, if he's already expunging.
What year is that?
Oh, my God. It's 2023. Yeah, 2024.
Yeah, 2024 is the year.
Yeah.
On his way out the door?
I do. I think so. I think on the way out the door. Yeah, I do. I really do. I think that's going to be, because I think that'll be like the, you know, that's a really good talking point. Like, if you do that, and I don't know if he's going to run again. He says he's going to. I just don't think he should.
I don't know how that's how that works. Like, will the incumbent president generally runs?
Right.
Or will generally have their party's nomination?
Yeah.
Unless there's somebody better in the Democratic Party that comes forward.
Yeah.
It's totally possible.
I don't know. I like Uncle Joe just fine. I think he's a good, you know, he's a good American. He's a good politician. There's some things that I don't love, but I actually generally do like Joe Biden. So he's just like, I'm not trying to be ageist or anything. I'm really not. And he's in tip top shape, but he's getting up there. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is just for his health. You know what I mean? Like, just for his health and well-being. I think it might be better to pass the torch.
You know, it's probably time for a little another younger generation to step into the White House.
I would like to see a whippersnapper. Yeah, I would like to see a Pete Buttigieg kind of age range where it's not, you know, and that's just my feeling. I feel like there's a lot of young people who are getting hip to politics, and I just feel like it would be really, it'd be prudent, to quote another old President George Bush, it would be prudent to elect somebody who's not 900. So that's just my feeling. So we're gonna move on to the tolerance rakes now. So that is good news. Thank you, Joe Biden. Okay, so started to say before, I'm moving from four joints a day to just a couple bowls, which is bowls from this bubbler that I'm showing. If you're watching us on YouTube, I asked TS to get me just like an eighth because I'm weaning myself off, and he got me a quote unquote bitchin' bubbler, and that's what this is. It's bitchin' as fuck. It's really great. It's like industrial, and I love it. And I you know, smoking out of glass is a different experience than smoking out of a joint. Obviously, it's less, you know, you're consuming less weed for the most part.
Right? Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Even if you smoke like a bunch of bowls, it's still like, still probably less because the joint's like, you know, gram and a half.
Roll big joints.
Yeah.
So got that nice, it's a nice heavy bubbler, fits nice and you're perfectly in your hand.
I love it. It's wonderful. And we're smoking some Zanana. Yeah. And It's interesting because I've been seeing a lot of things. Like all over my TikTok, there's people saying, and they're for you pages, that they are, or on my for you page, that they are taking a tolerance break. I sent you Kevin Smith's post not too long ago that he posted something. I don't know if it was like the anniversary of his heart attack or something. And he was like, I'm 5 weeks sober from weed and I feel more clear and grounded than I've ever felt. And I've been seeing people kind of say that, like, I want to take a tolerance break because, and for one reason or another, like, I think a lot of these kids are taking tolerance breaks because the percentage, the THC percentage is quite high on a lot of weed now, out here anyway. And your tolerance just goes through the roof. So you're smoking and you're smoking, you're smoking, you're not feeling anything. I don't think kids like that. I don't think that that's doing it for the newer generation of weed. It's not doing it. It doesn't do it for me either. Like, I love when I take a little break or when I only smoke a couple times a day, like past couple days. And I feel that, you know, that first time high goodness, you know, like, or if you don't smoke until too late or really late in the day, you kind of like that first hit. And we're talking like, okay, we're talking us. Most people don't smoke when they wake up, but a lot of people do, you know, a lot of people do. It's medicine or whatever it is, you know, at the end of the day, you're smoking because you want to. And it's, you know, we'll talk about whether or not there's health repercussions at the end of the show when we huff and puff. But it's, you know, I think the good thing about weed is that, like I said before, even though it's a psychological addiction, your body tells you when you're smoking weed and it's not doing anything for you. You know, your lungs just hurt. You're not high. You probably have a headache. You know, if you want to give it a minute, you'll go through withdrawal. I am not going to say, that's what we're going to talk about, is how to take a decent tolerant break.
Well, you know, scientists don't fully understand what's happening when we experience this. They're saying that with chronic cannabis use, that your THC receptors in your brain actually diminish over time.
With chronic use. So does that mean that's why we're getting...
So we're not getting the desired effect.
Yeah, yeah. So that's basically the quote-unquote, like, addiction to it. Well, and the withdrawal symptoms. But, like, once you use so much THC...
You're just so saturated that your receptors aren't
responding.
And that
happens, like, with the high percentage of THC. It happens with dabbing. It happens with edibles. If you take too many edibles, like, I know that if I take... You know, if I'm upping my edible dosage by the day and I notice that I am, like, I have to stop. Like, I'm just like, okay, calm down, because you're not going to be able to feel anything.
I did notice it when I was dabbing, when I was working for some concentrate companies and dabbing, like, all day for research purposes, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, you're just smoking flower. You were just smoking.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting anywhere.
No. It's just like continuously smoking and not feeling anything, and that kind of, like, why? I mean, for the habit of it all, you know what I mean? Just to perform your ritual, but that's not really the whole point of smoking weed, is to form a habit, or to, like, with cigarettes, like nicotine, like, instantly you're addicted because that's just the property of nicotine, and it just becomes a social, you know, it's not medicinally benefiting you, or, you know, you might think it's taking away your anxiety, but...
It's contributing to.
Mm-hmm. Haven't you ever seen a truth commercial? but yeah, so yeah, you're kind of... your THC receptors are kind of being overly saturated and are like, wait, we can't do anymore. We gotta go.
We've had enough.
Literally, we've had enough. And yeah, so that's when a tolerance break kind of comes in handy, is when you feel, when your body is telling you, okay, this isn't, you know, this isn't really working for us. So it's not, and it's not a bad thing to like to build up a tolerance to THC. It's not like you're addicted. You're not going to have to go to rehab and shit. Like, unless you do, unless you do, I don't want to judge anybody who goes to rehab for weed, but you'll be okay just by taking a tolerance break. Truly.
Generally. Yes.
Generally.
Of course.
Generally.
Of course.
And this doesn't, we're not doctors. Things are different now. I used to be able to say that with confidence, but you know, I've seen a lot of things on the TikTok where kids are feeling like they are desperately addicted to weed. I've been seeing this, you know, I think there's a lot of things that contribute to that. I think one of the things is people telling them that they're addicted to weed, but it's also like they feel like they can't function without dabbing, or they can't function without taking a big edible or whatever. And that will rise your, you'll make your tolerance higher and you will have a psychological addiction. Which doesn't mean it's a physical addiction. This is a different thing.
But that, yeah, that is the definition of a psychological addiction.
Exactly. Yeah. It's different, you know? So I just want to try to get that out there. Like, and there's different reasons for tolerance breaks, too. Like, mine eventual tolerance break will be a 9-month tolerance break, not by choice. And right now that I'm cutting down because I would like to prepare for that just in case that happens soon. So that I, when I was pregnant and I had my brief bout with pregnancy in December, and I had to quit all of the things that I was doing, just coldest of turkeys, and it was really uncomfortable. I was really uncomfortable. I was taking a lot of edibles. I was smoking a lot of high potency weed, and for 3 days I felt very sick. And I don't think it was pregnancy sick. I think I was weed sick. So yeah. So we'll kind of like, you know, go over some things.
Yeah, they say it is helpful for, even if you're not in it for the long haul, to take a tolerance break of 2 days.
Yeah, can sure.
Just take
at least 2 days.
Take 2 days off a week.
Yeah.
And that will help maintain your, make sure that, you know, you're getting where you need to be. And also, if you're using medicinally, the medicine will still be working effectively. Efficiently.
Right. Efficiently. yeah. So to basically like to prepare, it's good to have like a little bit of a preparation in mind, you know, just kind of like the next couple weeks I'm going to do something else when I, because my thing is like when I sit down and watch TV with my husband, especially if I watch like a scary movie or a comedy, I want to be fucking high. Like I just do. That's my favorite thing to do. I went to the movies the other day. I wanted to be fucking high. So my hand is like reaching for a joint. You know what I mean? Like I want to reach to my little side table and start to smoke my joint. Instead of that, I have to think of like something else. First, I have to put my weed away because smelling that shit is really hard. When you're on a tolerance break.
Oh, yeah.
It smells so good.
Yeah. I mean, it's like being in a bakery when you're on
when
a
you're
diet.
Not eating carbs. Yes, exactly. Yes. So that's my first word of advice is just not like a fiendy junkie, you know, no offense to fiendy junkies. Just, you know, like put it somewhere where you can't smell it or you don't see it. Because that's the psychological thing. You see it. You're doing a thing where you usually smoke just like cigarettes. It's the only way it's like cigarettes is the habit. You know what I mean? People who smoke cigarettes always say like when I have my coffee or when I'm driving to work or whatever the fuck cigarette people do. And that's their first step is to like train their mind to not go for it when you're trying to quit. And have like a kind of a hard, you know, like if you know you have a start date, maybe start to do a little tapering. Don't go balls to the wall. Which apparently is an offensive term. Don't go balls to the wall. I just heard that somewhere. Balls to the wall with smoking. Like, don't have a last hurrah because it won't.
Oh, you know,
it's like having a big meal before a diet.
One big smoke sesh before you end it all.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that's the best idea.
No, just, you know, gradually taper yourself off. Smoke a little less. Skip one sesh a day.
Skip one sesh a day.
Couple seshes.
Then make it two, then make it three, then make it four, then make it the whole day. If you're in social situations too, weed is so social for the most part. I mean, not for TS nights all the time, but it is a very social substance. So tell your homies. Just be like, homie, I'm trying to take a quick challenge break. I just need a minute. And that's not to say be like, go step outside. Just like, you know, just so they know. And like, you know, I think like when I told TS that I was like planning on cutting down a little bit, like he hasn't been really, you know, smoking a lot.
I'm in solidarity with you.
You are.
You
I said, really appreciate that.
You said you're not going to drink. Yeah. I'm like, that's a good idea. I'm gonna stand with you.
Yeah, and, thank you. It's very, it is appreciated because like, and that just shows TS and I are very good close friends and we don't need drinking and weed to be friends. That's how you know who your homies are. Because we did. We hung out, had a completely sober night, watched The Simpsons and got some pizza and...
I drank water all day.
Yeah, drink water all day. Usually we have a few shots before the show, some wine, and, you know, at least two joints before the show and definitely two joints during the show. But
I still have my joint though.
Yes. No, please, so. please keep it. That's an old joint though. That's from, you know, whenever we smoked in here last. So yeah, it's good to have your friends be in solidarity with you. Not necessary, you know, but also nice. It's nice and appreciated. So yeah, that's like a good kind of like tip.
Yeah. If your homie wants to take a tolerance break, don't give him a bunch of shit for it.
No, don't give him shit for it. Don't give him shit. You don't have to be in solidarity, but just try to be respectful of everybody's reasons for why they need to take a little tea break. Another thing, too, is one of like a withdrawal symptom of weed is, I mean, the two big ones is the sleeping and the anxiety and the eating. So these are two things that I noticed that I am trying to be on top of. Sleeping. Melatonin had never worked for me in my entire life. In fact, it like gave me nightmares and gave me a headache.
Yeah, me too. Never.
Never worked for me. However, my doctor, because I'm trying to get pregnant, my doctor had suggested a bunch of supplements, and melatonin was one of them. So I've been taking like CoQ10 and a prenatal and vitamin B and vitamin D and fucking acai berry and like all sorts of shit. And one of them was melatonin, which I thought was interesting because I, you know, I don't take melatonin. And in fact, I probably take other sleep aids to sleep along or I just eat a bunch of edibles and that's how I fall asleep. And obviously I'm smoking before I go to sleep. And a lot of people smoke to go to sleep. That is, it's a really helpful tool to sleep. So right before bed, like the anxiety of knowing that you're not going to be able to go to sleep is a little stressful. So for me, what I do, because I don't sleep anyway, is I've been taking my stupid melatonin. And honestly, since I've been taking the supplements and like balancing it all out, like it hasn't been like putting me to sleep by any means, but the stress of like, maybe it's just like the habit of like taking something and like knowing I'm taking something. I don't know. Maybe it's psychological.
That might may or may not help you.
Yeah.
But you're still
it's like
taking
placebo.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it could be that. I don't fucking care. Cause I've had insomnia obviously, cause I always do, but it hasn't been the death of me. Like sometimes when I go into insomnia spells, like it really does freak me out. But lately, like I've been able to like I'm reading something that's like, you know, to have a bedtime routine. Like I've been taking off my makeup. I've been like washing down, fucking getting my book and putting it to the side, looking at TikTok and like just getting myself a little bedtime thing to distract my need.
For the act of smoking.
Exactly. That's been helping me. So if anybody wants to try something like that, don't look at your phone. It's so hard because I look at TikTok to like breathe. So like last night I was just nonstop looking at him. I couldn't sleep. The melatonin obviously didn't work. I didn't smoke before I went to bed or anything. And I was looking at TikTok and my eyes were just like, stop it. Like, stop it. You're not going to sleep if you're looking at your phone. So if you want to look at your phone, maybe do it like an hour before you plan on going to bed.
Yeah. I don't think they were looking at your phone is necessarily recommended.
It's not. They say don't. It's longer than that. I think they say
like
3 hours.
Yeah. Before bedtime. I haven't necessarily taken a tolerance break, but I've been forced to take breaks, and I have to say, like a forced tolerance break, not being totally prepared.
Yeah.
was kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
When flying overseas where I couldn't, and it's highly illegal
yeah
in certain countries, I just didn't even want to risk trying to find any, and certainly didn't fucking bring any with me.
No.
But then not having cannabis for several days.
Right.
And being jet lagged and yeah. in another country. Oof. And Oof. Everything else going on. I started having really horrible, vivid,
oh, like yeah.
sort of stressful nightmares.
Anxiety dreams. Yeah.
Like I would dream that I would lose my passport or like the band I was working for, like I suddenly forgot to do my entire job and they'd walk up on stage.
Yeah,
and
there's just a rug there for the drums. Yeah.
It's like a drum, looking at the drum carpet was there. Like, so.
Oh man, it's so funny how like every person has like their own version of that. You know, like I used to be a server. I still have dreams that I didn't drop off a check or I didn't close out a check or something. Or I'm on the radio. I still have dead air dreams to this very second of my life. It's funny. Everybody has that version of being naked in school.
Oh, totally.
You know, I love it. But yeah, totally, totally. And I dream even through my heavy weed consumption spells. Like I'm just a dreamer. Like we'll eat 100 milligrams and smoke like 10 blunts a day and I'll go to bed and be like, T.S., I just had the craziest scary dream. He's like, how are you dreaming? Like,
how is this even possible?
So I've never experienced a dreamless sleep really in my life. But I do hear that you don't really dream when you smoke, and it does tend to come back with like a vengeance when you're on a tolerance break. So just kind of like drink some tea, man. Take a bath, you know, like that, those sorts of like things can, and listen, you know, like this is coming from a very, very nervous couple of people, very, very anxious couple of people. So we're not saying this like it's easy. You know, we're not saying like, just fucking chill. Like we understand why you're smoking weed. We get it. Cause we're doing that too. And it's our job also to smoke weed or to be around weed. So trust us. We're not trying to like blow off your things. So yeah, the other thing I was going to say too is eating. So eating for me, eating for me is weird. I like, not because I have any sort of disorder or anything like that. It's just I get hungry at weird times of the day. I get not hungry. I can go for a while without being hungry, but I also can get really hungry. So when I stop smoking, and when you stop smoking, when anybody who stops smoking, if they smoke a lot, your appetite is going to get fucked up. You're going to be nauseous a little bit. Not like you're going to want to vomit or anything. But I just noticed that it was I was hungry, but food just wouldn't, like I couldn't eat it. You know what I mean? Like,
no, things taste different.
Things taste different. You feel like it's icky. Things smell different. Also, there's a lot of receptors that cannabis, you know, is working with. That if it's not there, those receptors are going to start to bounce around again and light up. And sometimes that's your nausea receptor. Sometimes that's your headache. You know, and that makes it difficult to eat. This article that I'm reading suggests, and I also suggest, like, take a bite of something. That's it. You just please take it. That's what I was doing this week. Like, food was really not my jam. But I knew I was hungry, and like, I would take a bite of something like a yogurt or like a little bit of oatmeal, or like, for me, those are my comfort foods. Cheese, like a toast is really good for me. But like string cheese is my, like, that is my hyperfixation food when I have, and people with ADD also, like myself, we, eating is weird for us. So we were very specific with our food.
I always have a little pack of walnuts or cashews or peanuts.
You do, which
me.
Also is a great idea. That's not on my hyperfixations, but when it is, it is. Like when I'm a nut person, all I'm doing is nuts. yeah. And that's a perfect snack because it's like really good for you, packed with a bunch of shit, and it will fill you up in a way that you won't really feel shaky or anything like that. And you kind of just want to, like do it at like regular times. You know, you want to get yourself into regular eating habits. Again, I have ADD. So, or
routines help.
Exactly. And I'm saying this as somebody who doesn't really adhere to that, and it's very difficult for me to do that. I try to eat intuitively, but when my body isn't working intuitively, it's really difficult to do that. And also, if you can't eat certain foods sometimes because of whatever neurodivergence you have, like myself, it's difficult to do that. Weed really helps with that. So just try your best. Celery, carrots, fucking crackers, whatever it is that you can get through to yourself, try to do it at a regular routine, and it will help. You will get through that. And, you know, keep yourself busy. Like, keep. I like the book option every time I feel. The book are honestly, like, TikTok for my dopamine, or like watching something. Like, I'll be like, okay, I'm just gonna put on The Simpsons, or I'm just gonna put. And Simpsons is funny because I love to be high watching The Simpsons, right? Like, I love to laugh.
Well, it hit that same dopamine response.
Yeah.
You'll get a little boost.
A little boost.
Watching The Simpsons.
Yeah. No, and you also just have to know when you're gonna experience those, like, cravings. Like, is it right before dinner time? Is it right before bedtime? Is it, like, right when you get home from work, because that's a really great time to want to sit back, relax, and take a hit. If that's the case, figure out something to replace there. You know, get a cup of coffee, go for a walk, or take a bath. I like the bath option, honestly.
I'm a big
you're
fan
a soaker.
Of soaking.
Yeah, you're a big soaker.
Super soaker.
Yeah, and don't worry about it. Like, don't, like, if you get, like I was on my couch before, and, like, I had a headache, and I was cranky, and, like, my stomach was hurting, and I really just didn't want to, I didn't want to smoke. Like, I gave myself until noon today, which is, I know seems early for most, but I'm a wake and baker, especially on days that I don't work out. And I did, you know, like, I smelt the weed, and I was like, okay, get up, you know, do something, drink some water. And that's really what I've been doing a lot today, is, like, drinking water, which is a good, you know, kind of a decent replacement. I walk the dogs, like, just whatever it was. And I would get a strong, like, whiff of it, because, like, my apartment is saturated in weed. So, you know, it's there. But it was just kind of, like, plowing through those really uncomfortable moments is, you know, and I'm not cold turkey. Yeah, I'm not there yet. Hopefully I will be soon. But I think, like, I'm trying to tell myself, I'm trying to be, like, gentle on myself and be like, you were smoking, like, 4 joints a day, and you've only smoked a bowl so far today. So I think that's good.
That's good. You know, slowly tapering is probably the best way for people like us to accomplish a tolerance break. Like, cold turkey, that shit's just not going to work for either of us.
No.
What? Okay, so there's this other down. It says try replacing with CBD.
I don't recommend that personally, but I've seen that before. I have seen that before. I feel like Riley may have touched on that on one of her.
Oh yeah.
Things. I don't know. I mean, it's still.
Like, maybe as part of, like, tapering down,
right, exactly.
You would do,
maybe,
like,
replace,
you do, like,
a 1-to-1, 2-to-1. Yeah, I agree.
Work your way to a 20-to-1. And then
you're trying to reset your receptors. So in order to, and reset your cannabinoid system. So in order to do that, CBD is still cannabis.
Still works,
you know,
on those receptors.
Yeah, exactly. It's still cannabis in a way. So I would say, maybe exactly like you said, you know, so, like, every gradual increment, maybe instead of smoking, you know, a bowl of regular weed, you get it, like, a CBD vape, or take a CBD gummy or something like that, like, at night, if that's when you consume your weed or something like that. But I would say, if you're trying to take a full tolerance break, take the full tolerance break. And that's coming from me. So, yeah, I that's just my opinion. I like this too. Like, this is like a treat yourself at the end of each tea.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. You know, because I spend a lot of money on weed. I sure do.
So watch that bank account get fatter.
For realsies. I mean, you notice. You really notice when, you know, it's like when you're working at a dispensary and you're not spending money on weed. It's really, you know, it makes a difference. Weed is very expensive this day and age. So, yeah, like, it's totally doable. And if a person like me is saying that, if people like TS and I are saying that, like, we're not taking it lightly. We're not, like, just like, yeah, no. But, like, we know how hard it is. We know how hard it is to eat, to sleep, to live, to find happiness, to do anything that weed helps us do. But a few days, a few months.
You got this.
Yeah. Definitely. It's totally doable. It really is. And if you're a person who's planning on getting pregnant, I'm going to talk about a lot of stuff that I'm finding out. We'll have some people on who have done things before. And, you know, there is an end in sight. If you don't have an allergy to weed or CHS or anything like that, you can always start smoking again. You really can. So you just know that, like, it's going to come again. It has some pretty great benefits to taking a tolerance break. And that first hit after a tolerance break is just pure fucking euphoria. Like, it's better than any other drug in the world.
Well, yes, when I come and see you after you give birth and I hand you the bong in your hospital bed that I've smuggled in, you are going to be so lit.
I'll be so litty titty.
I'll be holding the baby and I'll hand you the bong.
I'll be like, thanks, buddy. Uncle Starseed brought the bong. I did actually see, I read a post of a woman who had a baby, and her in their go bag, her husband brought gummies. So, like, when I think she had a natural birth. And, like, afterwards, it's like, oh, God, it's a rough period for the body. So she just, like, took, like, two gummies and was, like, so happy. Like, just, like, she was recovering. She was.
That's a spouse of the year award right there.
Right?
Packing gummies in the pregnancy go bag.
Yep. I was like, that's actually a really good idea. Like, if you're, you know, comfortable with that because breastfeeding and all that stuff. But which we won't have to get into right now because a lot of people take weed when they're breastfeeding. But if that's something that you're not comfortable with, obviously don't do that. But this really worked for this woman. She was like, I had never been more chill in a hospital in my life. So I love it. That's our little tea break sitch there. I think if you're planning on doing it, it's totally cool. Totally okay. Kevin Smith is doing it, apparently. I don't know if he's ever going to go back to weed, but he hasn't been smoking weed for 6 weeks now. And if Kevin Smith can do it, you can do it. We're going to take a quick break. Oh yeah. I'm excited to talk about what we're going to talk about next. Okay, we'll be right back.
Gummies, 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 gummies. I got gummies. Do you want some gummies? It's the Cool Nerd Weed Show.
Don't do it. No, you always do it. It is the Cool Nerd Weed Show. That's Tiaz.
And that's Sasha.
And we are back. We talked a long time for tolerance breaks. I'm really proud of us. I thought we'd be like, take a tolerance break. but we did. So this is a really interesting sitch. We might actually go over on the show today for the after hours. You can listen to that on the podcast. That'll be up tomorrow. But because this is like something we could talk about, I feel like, for hours. So Tia sent me a Reddit thread. Basically, was it an Am I the Asshole? And let's see, do we want to read the whole thing?
Yeah. Am I the asshole for smoking next to a pregnant woman at a concert?
Yes.
Yesterday, I went out to a concert. The band I was seeing was a very heavy drug scene associated with it. I was assigned. It was an assigned seat section. I made small talk with the couple next to me for a while, about 10 minutes into the first set. I lit up a joint, and about 5 minutes after, the husband complains to me about his wife being pregnant. I told them both, it's a show. You came here. You can choose to leave. He tried to cause a scene, but nothing happened since I just ignored them and danced. I told my roommates earlier today, and they said I was being an asshole for smoking next to a pregnant lady. And then it's up for debate on Reddit.
Okay. A lot of people are saying this person was the asshole. That seems to be the verdict. Now, the thing that I asked, because there is a post down on this thread that mentions this, because, like, yes, I do feel like, and I don't know. Like, I was really adamant about, like, when you're in a public space and there's like a bunch of public people, I actually do feel like it's okay to not be blowing smoke in people's faces. And I do feel like there is a kind of stoner etiquette that goes along with smoking weed, just like smoking cigarettes.
For sure.
Anything that infringes on somebody else, you don't know what they're going through. If I mean, what if she was being hotboxed and she tested positive, which is like damn near impossible. Let's say that happened. She'd be in big trouble, you know, because she's pregnant. So in terms of like a social worker could show up at her hospital bed. So you don't want to be responsible for that. I do think he was the asshole, but I asked because I went through trauma at my last place of dwelling where I was just in a battle with my upstairs neighbor because she wanted me not to smoke in my apartment because she had a baby and she didn't want the smell. And I have to believe this, that she smelled it because every time I smoked, she would know. And I did what I could. I would go outside. I did what I could. But I, at the end of the day, I was in a smoking, not a non-smoking building. And I was like, you can go fuck yourself. But I'm reading things in this thread, basically, where people are actually leaving their houses if their neighbors are complaining about weed.
I think this is crazy. Well, first, okay, most venues that you're in these days are non-smoking.
Right.
But it is...
But the people smoke.
But
I mean,
people
yeah.
smoke, and it... It is a rock concert.
A rock and roll concert.
And...
I'm not saying she shouldn't think that there was going to be no weed smoke there, but if the guy was like standing right next or sitting right next to them and just smoking, I don't know. I kind of think he was the asshole.
Well, fuck. Yeah, you're smoking next to a pregnant woman.
Yeah, I mean, you should really do anything a pregnant woman asks you to do.
It's disrespectful. Also, at the same time, you're at a show, and people are going to be doing all sorts of things at a show, whether they're allowed to or not. But
well, I don't think it has anything to do with being allowed to. I just think it has to do with like respect. You know what I mean? Well, like a respect for a person's space. And yes, of course, she should know that she's going to a rock concert and like. There might be some substances being consumed, of course. But,
you know, you go to shows now and, you know, I went to the Palladium and there's a smoking section.
Yeah.
And everybody's out there smoking everything. And then inside, people weren't smoking.
Right.
Because there was a smoking section.
Yeah.
But, you know, even in an outdoor venue, you don't see many people like... smoking like actual like puffing on joints or pulling out a bowl at the show like
no.
more people you see more people actually like vaping
yeah
which is, I guess is a lot more low key.
You can still smell it.
You can smell it. Like what if I was vaping next to this pregnant lady, like low, like a little, like little vapes and blowing them the other way, it'd probably be a little bit less offensive.
It would be less offensive for sure. I think that's the appeal of vaping for the most part anyway. So you can kind of do it anywhere and it's pretty less offensive.
But when we were young,
mm-hmm.
we were probably, when we were pressed up against the barricade for like 14 hours.
Yeah.
And I pulled out, I had like a couple of J's.
Yeah.
We take a couple of puffs.
Yeah. I forgot what we did. We would just take like kind
of
like,
couple of puffs,
like we would dip.
And,
and
smoke and.
Because I personally don't feel entirely comfortable just blowing smoke in somebody's face. That's just how, like, I just feel like, not like I would mind if somebody did that to me, but more often than not, somebody's going to mind, even if they're a stoner, getting...
Like having somebody just blow a whole bunch
of
smoke.
To be, like, right next to you, close quarters.
Loud.
Right, exactly. I just feel like that's probably a little bit of, like, asshole behavior. I'm just stuck on, like the apartment thing.
Yeah, well, I mean,
like if somebody asks you not to smoke,
that's completely different because it's your own home.
He leaves in this thread. He said he leaves his house.
Well, that's on you, bro. You leave your house if you want, but
and then people are like, "Thank you so much. You're so respectful. They're so nice." I was in a big argument. It's probably the bitch who fucking was on top. She was. I was in such a big argument with the president. We kind of smoking. Like. And I'm not like I know a lot of people, especially in New York now. who are complaining about that, who don't like the smell of weed coming into their apartments.
Where can I draw the line of odors that offend me in my apartment?
I know.
I live in a big ass city. I can smell trash. I can smell trash
garlic,
fires. I can smell,
like, garlic triggers a migraine for me.
I can smell dog pee because everybody lets their dog piss in the alley. Above my window.
Right. No, like, I know.
Where do we draw the line?
I know. Personal
freedoms. I want to smoke in my own home.
I'm just kind of like driving myself crazy about it, you know, because I really do struggle with that. And it traumatized me when I lived there. Like, it was really difficult to me to reconcile being in my own fucking space. I was also going through a lot. So I really did need my weed, but the more I thought about it, like, the farther I got away from it, when I was in it, I was like, fuck you, bitch. But then, like, the farther I got away from it, and then reading all this stuff today, the more I'm like, shit, maybe I was the asshole. Maybe I just should have gone down. I'm in LA, it's nice out, you know what I mean, and go downstairs. Not like it's New York where I have to go in the cold. It's, you know, not that bad to have to go downstairs, and it's inconvenient, it's fucking stupid, but if that's what she's asking me to do, I am infringing on her with my noxious weed smell, according to her. So, but she's also infringing. Like, why don't I count, I guess, is what I'm saying, too. Like, why don't my needs count? Like, why can't I smoke in a designated area? Or, like, you know, I don't know.
That's another thing. Like, there is no, where it's confusing is where there's a designated area. Like, you go to the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
And before a show, like, people are in, there's a designated smoking area, and people are smoking, smoking in the designated smoking area. So it accommodates everybody to go to that designated smoking area.
So they shouldn't, nobody should feel self-conscious doing that. So do you think he's the asshole or not?
I do think that he's the asshole.
I think he's the asshole. What a world we live in where we think somebody's smoking weed.
I put myself in that situation.
Yeah.
And if I, obviously I've been there, and if somebody, and I lit up and if somebody was like, hey bro, my wife's pregnant and you're blowing smoke, I'd be like, oh, I am so
truly
sorry.
And I truly think if a pregnant person asks you anything, your perfume is too strong, it's going to make me throw up. Whatever it is, you do what they say. Because being pregnant is fucking, I'm not pregnant yet. I don't know why I want to be, because it sounds like a living nightmare. you know, but that said, please just have the utmost respect for pregnant people. Please, because I watched my sister go through it and... Damn. And if somebody had lit up next to her and it made her not feel good or made her uncomfortable, I would have taken the joint and put it out in his ear. So that, you are the asshole. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with our Huff and Puff.
The final Huff and Puff with TS and Sasha.
It is the final Huff and Puff with TS and Sasha, indeed. And we are back with, okay, so, you know, I don't know what's happening, but ever since like late last year, I'm not even smoking and I'm coughing. All the cough without the smoke. I don't know what happened, but late last year, I feel like there's just been a slew of misinformation and cannabis slander, quite frankly. It's been very reefer madness in our lives, and I'm getting real fucking sick of it.
Yeah, there's all of these so-called studies coming.
Yeah, quote-unquote studies from quote-unquote people.
Doctors.
Yeah, doctors. And they're disheartening, to say the least. So there was a couple that we stumbled upon. One of them today that we have time to talk about is the headline. And this is from, what is it? News-medical.net. That sounds like a bot made up. That sounds like an AI made up a fake website. If you were like, make up a fake news site, they'd be like newsmedical.net/news. So that's what it says.
News Medical Life Sciences.
Okay. The headline is, study finds cannabis vaping more harmful than nicotine vaping. I have so much trouble. I have so many problems with that.
Very interesting.
That, like, okay, like, okay. Like, I'm not saying putting smoke into your lungs will not give your lungs some distress. I am not saying putting smoke into your lungs of any kind will not inflame your lungs and distress them. I am also not saying that doing a million dabs will not fuck up your lungs a little bit. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that there's no fucking way in any hell that exists, no circle of hell, no hell, that weed is worse for you than nicotine. I won't believe it. I won't believe it.
I will never believe it.
I won't believe it.
Ever. Ever, ever.
Nicotine, my dude. Nicotine will literally kill you, and it literally is the most addictive substance you could start with. I mean, if you want to go jump right into heroin, that's pretty addictive too. But nicotine, it's the OG. It's the OG of addicted things. You smoke a cigarette, you are addicted. You smoke a little vape, you're addicted. So please don't say, like, there's no way that's more harmful for you than cannabis. I just can't believe that. And I read a comment on this article that's basically saying, like, there's so many different, weed vaping and cigarette vaping, they're two, it's almost like apples and oranges to compare the two. They both go in your lungs.
For sure.
Just like apples and oranges both go in your tummy, but cannabis vaping and nicotine vaping are two extremely, extremely different. The tech is different. The obviously what's in it is different. The toxicity of what's in nicotine is different than what they're putting in cannabis, which we don't always abide by. We fucking hate vapes. I don't even like vaping at all ever in my life. So I'm not.
That's a whole nother show.
And we've done a whole another bunch of shows on that topic. But it's a totally different technology that you're comparing. You're literally almost literally comparing apples and oranges. So this to me is very reefer madness, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous for somebody to be like, well, I'm smoking the tobacco because I read an article with fucking stupid, useless sightings that say that weed isn't, that this is more healthy for me than weed. Don't think that, please. And plus, this article is citing that they did all these tests on mice.
Yeah, it was done on mice and some human lung cells.
Okay.
So you're flawed right there,
Flawed. So flawed. So flawed.
Also, they gave, they vaped 50 milligrams of cannabis and 5% nicotine to mice.
The comparison there? How are we knowing that is scientifically comparable? It's just like when we compare drinking and driving with high driving. What? How are we doing this?
50 milligram vape on a mouse seems rather potent on this poor mouse's lungs.
Poor guys.
And then a 5% like nicotine vape. Like, that seems a little bit lower.
I was just going to say, aren't they usually like 7 or higher? I don't know. I don't know what the flume florts are.
Oh, what the percentage of nicotine is? I don't know. The flume flort.
So we ask you, if you see things like this on the internet and you come across things like this, if your parents tell you that this or your uneducated family members, just try to do a little more research. You know what I mean? Just like look beyond what you're seeing, because I just have to say it again. I cannot believe with my heart that nicotine, they're basically saying nicotine vaping is healthier for you in so many words than vaping weed.
Yeah.
Come on, my dude. Come on, man. That can't be. That just can't be. It just can't be.
I'll never believe it. And the study is obviously flawed.
It's so flawed. And that's how we know it's bullshit, is because it comes from flawed ass studies like this. Show me something that's real, for real. Show me a real study. I'm doing a ton of research on weed and pregnancy and weed and trying to get pregnant and fertility and all this stuff. And you just come across so much propaganda and no real studies. And there are some real studies that I actually have come across that have helped me a lot. It's helped me understand things. But I can't just look at a thing that says, well, this is what we think because we did it on mice
So, here you go. Everybody in the world digest that.
Yeah, I just can't get behind that. So, you know, when you're going into these things, when you're looking at stuff online, just, you know, ask the nerds. The nerds will give you our expert opinion. And you don't have to take that for truth either. You do whatever the hell you want. But thank you for listening to us. We do have to go. And thank you for hanging out. We love you so much. We really, really, really fucking love you. Follow us on Instagram, Cool Nerd Weed Show, and the YouTube's Cool Nerd Weed Show. Find us there. And even if you're taking a tea break, we'll be with you every single week, even if we're taking a tea break, because we love you so much. And
don't panic.
It's organic.